You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Are you familiar with the concept of evolution? In their time, humans were capable of many great things.
Noah!
They could fly like eagles fly. They could speak across oceans. But now, it is our time. And it is my kingdom. Apes will learn. I will learn. And I will conquer.
Legend says ape and human live side by side. Impossible as that may seem.
Why do they hunt her?
She's smarter than most.
The elders did not tell us everything about this world.
Bend for your king.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
You will die.
No, together, strong.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion, and today I'm joined by my go ape for Peter, Jill,
I love that you-
and Quinny. before we go onto this, hello, how are you?
Donkey Kong, Yogo Gorilla.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Get back to you, Barry.
Which great ape each of us? Let us know in the chat if you want to give us each of these. Like, can I be George of the Jungle or is he not an ape?
Yes, he is an ape. We are all apes.
Yeah, well, okay.
We'll get that out of the way straight away.
Yeah.
And something else to get out of the way. Okay. Like we say every week, we're not a podcast. We're a social reaction.
Yes, exactly. Well, you're going to get a lot. You're going to get
reacting socially.
You're going to get a lot of social reactions tonight. And then stay tuned for the review podcast, which comes out tomorrow. Exactly. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, it may sound familiar.
We say it every week. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, someone's dibs on the librarian. Wait, which one of us is the librarian? No, you're supposed to give us the ape name.
Yes. Well, they can be the librarian.
Giving a bunch of shit house.
In the clear way that I can.
Yes, Ook. Thanks, Quiddy. You are terrible.
Sorry. No.
Yeah.
You know the best part about this? Like, it was working fine until we started.
It really was
fucking broadcast.
I know, but that's what
we just had a half hour completely normal conversation prior to this.
Yeah, well, you know, hey,
it
that's
does my head in.
Mainly, look, you've only had weeks to fix it. It's fine. I know. I just there's a bus and I'm going to throw you on it. Anyway, tonight we are giving social reactions to The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the fourth film in the reboot franchise that has no circus. And nope, not the guy in the clown costume driving a little car.
S-E-R-K-I-S.
Yes, we're talking the...
I believe that this film can now be called Not My Circus, Not My Monkeys.
That's actually quite good. I want to steal that one. Yes, we are doing Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which comes out tomorrow in cinemas. And because it's a local production, it's, you know, support your local productions that got filmed in Australia. Because give me a home among the gum trees. And lots of gum trees.
Yes, and many orangutans in gum trees.
Just a lot of gum trees.
Yeah,
yeah.
But as was kind of like, you know, if you want to logic bomb the film and be picky, you can. But also, I want to say there's a lot of gum trees in California, and they could have proliferated. Yeah, with the time in that
they
space,
are an invasive species.
They are.
I mean, the first films were set in San Francisco. That's in California.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. If we could have exported the koalas, that also would have been fun. But no, it's fine. There was a fair bit of, if anyone knows Sydney Sandstone and that kind of like stuff, it's like, oh, there's a fair bit of sandstone in the background and a lot of gum trees. And I'm like, but it's fine.
There's also a lovely jaunt through the Gondwana forests of Australia.
Yes.
Which are quite beautiful.
Yes.
And some of the oldest forests in the world. So, you know, maybe apt for generating a landscape for this story.
And somewhat of the south coast of New South Wales coastline, which was a little bit easier to acknowledge and be like, I kind of recognise that. mm-hmm. Slightly different to the previous three films, which were very definitely in like giant redwood / Oregon Trail.
Canada.
Well, not Canada, yeah. Anyway, but it's fine.
Let's be honest. Right. It was all probably filmed somewhere in the woods outside Vancouver.
Except for this one. This wasn't. This was filmed in Australia, which is great.
Yeah. I'm actually really happy about that because it's given, like, as they announced before the screening, it has given a lot of work. Like, you know, it's millions of dollars of money into the local film industry, but also hundreds of jobs. It's a massive, massive production. And when you see some of the sets and everything like that, you're like, oh, shit, yeah, right. Okay, this is big, you know, big blockbuster film. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I do wonder whether people around the rest of the world would be looking at it and going, that looks like, you know, outback of Australia, or whether they just go, oh, it's trees.
No, yeah. It's like how we just look at California now. And we're like, yeah, that's totally an alien planet, you know, or, you know, Canada's forests and be like, yes, you've gone through the Stargate and now you're on the quarry planet or the forest planet. Pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this was fun. And also, okay, one of the things I really enjoyed about it and my impression of it, I really liked the fact that there's a lot of apes in this. There is a shit ton of apes, which means that this film is 90% mocap. And I have to admit, very immersive. So I go, kudos to the technology on this one. It was like, I was just like, sure, I'm with this. Apes are emoting.
Yep.
The graphics are so stunning. Like, you don't even think you're looking at animated creatures. Like, it just looks so real.
I was fascinated. I was actually I was doing a little bit of reading on it, and they used a lot of the technology that was developed for Avatar 2. Because they needed their CGI characters to interact with water so much that they went, well, fuck it. The only thing that's done that successfully is that. So we need to be using the same rigs as what they were. But I agree, Dion. I think the thing that is amazing about it is the CGI, but I think it almost does a disservice to the actors. Because I actually, and bear with me on this one, because I actually forgot that I was looking at actors. I was so fucking immersed that I was like, that's literally emoting apes in front of me. And because there are no big name actors in there, like as any of the apes, I wasn't thinking, oh, that's, you know, such and such with a CGI ape suit on. I was just like, well, that's Noah and that's Rucker. And that's, and by the end of it, I realized I had forgotten to look who the actors were because I was just like, they're monkeys.
Yeah.
It's so weird because I had the opposite experience and
oh,
I
really?
Wonder what's wrong with my brain. and the way I pass facial expressions to make me have the opposite experience, because I spent the entire time wondering who the actors were and envisaging the expression that the human would have on their face to make the ape have that expression, because I wasn't emotionally connecting to the apes enough.
Oh, wow.
Because it felt CGE to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird. I mean,
because I need to see human expressions. It's why I can't enjoy animations the way that you guys can enjoy animations. I don't connect emotionally to the characters, and I found the exact same experience. But I did really enjoy that the CG expressions were really kind of fitting in the bounds of the way a chimpanzee or a bonobo's face could potentially express, and not kind of going beyond that. But in my head, I was imagining the actor behind that and what expression they'd be having as a human.
And the really exciting
weird
thing
brain.
About... weird brain. The really exciting thing about that is, as the film gets ready to be released on digital, whenever it is, I had a weird interaction online with one of the actors from the film. So Travis Jeffrey, who plays Anaya, is known to some of the other people who were there last night, and so conversation online. They're releasing a version of the film when it comes to coming out on digital that is without the CGI. It's just going to be the actors in their suits so that you can actually see what they do. And I'm fucking jazzed for that.
That's fascinating, yeah.
Yeah, because I was so into the emotional ape story, but I kept on at the end of it, I was like, but I know that there's actors in there and I want to know what they were doing and then what the animators were doing and then, you know, all that stuff. So I'm really excited for that. And
I was very happy to hear that they took the tech from Avatar and didn't take the script from Avatar. Because let's be honest, this was a little better because there were some jokes that landed and I felt connected to ape society in a way that I hadn't really been connected to ape society past. And I kind of liked how the apes interacted with each other, creating different characters and stuff like that. So that was, you know, it was fun. I
also,
like
no 12-foot blue people with tails that have sex. Winner.
Yeah, and that's how they have to communicate with their rides and things. Sorry, listen, this is not an Avatar-focused podcast. This is about the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which is the fourth in the new reboot franchise, going from Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and...
There's Rise of...
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the Apes, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which doesn't also take into account the rest of the Planet of the Apes stuff.
Rise and Dawn seem kind of redundant.
Yeah.
There's a Rise and it has Draco
there's
Malfoy.
There's a Rise
in it.
And then you Dawn.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And depending, sometimes you get a Rise before Dawn. Anyway.
And how invested are we in this franchise? Who's seen
heavily.
All the movies of the franchise?
Heavily, heavily invested. I have seen all of them.
Yes.
I've seen all of them, but I'm not heavily invested.
Oh, okay.
I've seen at least one, possibly two. I'm not sure. They're a bit blended together in my brain.
Have you watched the original 60s one?
Charlton
well, yes.
Heston?
Obviously, okay. I've seen the Heston one.
Well,
no, not obviously.
Not obviously. Like, some people might not have watched
many
it.
Many people. It took me a long time to watch it because it is a 60s film and it is slow.
I think what I love about the Heston one is that the apes, like costuming, is equally as good as the apes costuming in the Wahlberg one. Despite the 50-year difference between them.
Hey.
I have to admit I have not watched the Marky Mark one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're not missing too much, but it does have some cool ideas in it from the Burton, like Burton-esque stuff. And also everyone...
Tim Roth's fucking great in it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was great because all those A-list actors had to go to ape school and they did like a background, like a behind the scenes of that. And it's like... All these actors are like, hey, you have to move like this and do that. No, do it again. They're like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this?
Mm, the apes in that film are great. Like Michael Clarke Duncan is a big fucking silverback. Amazing. Like Paul Giamatti as an orangutan, super cool. Tim Roth is fucking spot on as this terrifying bastard.
But a weird sexy kiss between Marky Mark and Helena Bonham in full ape makeup, perhaps not the direction that we were expecting. And that's not a spoiler. This film is old. This is so long ago. Thankfully, they shied.
It also ends terribly.
Yeah, they shied away from all that, so that's fine. Are you talking about Abraham Lincoln? Yes, I know. Fuck.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean,
we don't know what we're talking about and what's going on in this film, are we going to have a synopsis, or are we assuming everyone knows what Planet of the Apes is now?
Well, lots of people know what Planet of the Apes is, but let's find out where we're at with the kingdom, because we are, as you say, four films in.
Yeah, well, kind of. I don't really have any music apart from this stuff. Think of it, it's like it's ape slow jazz.
Okay. What shit accent should it be in?
Ooh. Ook.
Okay.
Read it as the librarian.
If you do the librarian parts, I can translate for you. Several generations in the future, following Caesar's reign, apes are now the dominant species. They live harmoniously whilst humans have been reduced to living in the shadows. As a new tyrannical ape leader builds his empire, a young ape, undertakes a harrowing journey that will cause him to question all that he has known about the past and to make the choices that will define a future for apes and humans alike. Well done.
Yes.
I've got to say, one thing I really did appreciate about this film is the diversity. You know, you don't often have something hitting so well on the diversity front of this one. All of the great apes family was represented in this film.
I mean, look, Pete, I've got to say just one question there. How many of the new Planet of the Apes films have you seen?
One and maybe another one, depending on how the plot separates in my head.
Good.
I really vividly remember something to do with the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes, that was
it was set in San Francisco.
Yeah, that would be Dawn when they ran across that and got out.
I think that's the last thing I remember.
Yes, but there were a lot of apes in that were represented too. They had a lot of different types. So why are we talking about ape representation?
Because it's important. Sure. If you can't see it, you can't be
a natural history producer to watch a film about apes, and now I'm going to be hard fact-checking it the entire way through our reaction.
Exactly.
Justice for bonobos. That's what I have to say about this film.
Well, okay, why do we say that? Why do we feel the bonobos got...
I don't know if it's spoilery, but bonobos are... known to be actually a lot less violent and more peaceful than chimpanzees. They live in matriarchal societies and they solve their problems with sex. And that's not how bonobos are represented in this franchise.
My word, it's not. In fact, the exact opposite.
And why are all the orangutans just lovable throughout the whole film, like all this series? Like
all
every
of
time
the
you come across an orangutan, they're always like, oh, what a nice orangutan.
I must admit, the orangutan in this rucka, fucking on point orangutan-ness.
Yeah.
He was orangutan-y.
Yes, I mean, that's, but I couldn't pick the voice until I got out and I was looked at the actor, and the actor is Peter Macron. Sorry, Macon, who is Bortus from the Orville. So no wonder I was sitting there going, this voice is nice.
I was
this
having that same thought process.
It's great. And it's Bortus. And I was like, damn it, that's so cool.
He was my favorite character in the film.
Absolutely. Beautiful character, well-written. And
he had the most funny moments as well.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, shout out also to the other actors. You've got Owen Teague, who was playing Noah, who gave it his all as the person that he had to follow throughout this whole sort of thing. He acted the hell out of that.
He really did. And if you're following the shoes of Andy Serkis, That's yeah. a big yeah. fucking, there's some big fucking CGI shoes to fill.
Yeah. I got to say, I really enjoyed the character of Noah. Mm. Like yeah. to come on board with a new ape in the franchise. Like
that's pretty hard.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. yeah.
To pick that up yeah. and like give something some people to connect to. I mean, it's hard enough, especially in the previous three films where it's like there are humans around and then the apes are sort of going out and how do you do all that and all this kind of stuff. And then to this one, which is just like, it's just apes. The humans are dumb. They don't do anything. They're idiots. And it's just the apes. You got to connect with the apes.
I connected with the apes. I have to say it was kind of weird because I was like describing the movie to my boss today. He asked how it was. And I kept referring to the apes as people. I
oh,
was
yeah.
like, yeah, then these guys, and then they were doing it to, and then the people, and I'm like, wait, no, the apes, the chimps.
And it takes its time very carefully for the first, I don't know, third of, or more of the film virtually to really only be about apes. Mm-hmm. You know, you see Ape Society of Eagle Clan. So Noah and his friends are all part of Eagle Clan, who are a clan of apes who raise eagles. What was exciting to me is that they are wedge tails. I was like, fuck yeah. We're not fucking around with your little American bald eagles. They were wedge-tailed eagles. Big six-foot motherfuckers. and I thought that was very cool. And then you see other apes coming in and attacking them. So you're setting up a real ape society before you really bring any human elements in at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Which I thought was smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that human element, as we've said, is Freya Allen. Yeah. Hi, Siri. Well, hey, Siri.
I'm trying to think why she looked familiar.
Yeah, me too.
There you go.
And then I looked it up and went, oh, you are Siri. Oh, right. Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me for a minute there. And I was like, oh, no, a blonde girl running through the forest. I'm afraid you're getting typecast there a little bit,
Freya. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, wasn't bleach blonde though.
What?
Bleach, yeah. I let her keep her eyebrows.
Yes.
Sure. Look, most of this stuff is kind of one of the things I felt when I was watching is it really is setting itself up for a continuation and a newer story to try to keep the franchise rolling. Which is an interesting thing. It's like a little bit of a skip. Why not? You know, the original Planet of the Apes had how many films? I think
six.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five films in the original ones. And then the Marky Mark was the sixth. So this actually would make it the 10th cinematic outing for the Planet of the Apes franchise. So just like Fast and the Furious, you know, they wonder if they'll just keep going and punching them out. And about whether or not we'll get to the stage is who are we rooting for there? Are we rooting for the apes or are we rooting for the humans? Which one do we want them to come out on top, basically?
And that's really the key question, isn't it? What I did find interesting is that it's not a reboot, it's a restart. It's set, you know, 300 plus years since the first films, and it really turns them into essentially a prequel trilogy because now the world that we see is very much the Planet of the Apes that we saw in those original films, where the apes are in charge, they have a society, they've got various different clans and societies, and the humans are...
I think the literal super was many generations later.
Yes.
So take that as you will.
Mm. Yeah. Which, I mean, that does beg a couple of questions for later on as well, that we will get to in the spoilery stuff. And as we said, this doesn't open until tomorrow. There are like late night screenings tonight. So some people may be going and watching it tonight, but it opens wide tomorrow. So we will be doing a spoiler section, but it's going to perhaps be a little like, if you don't want to know anything, we'll try and... Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty hard to be spoiled. Like, in my vote, I mean, hey, yeah, do as you will if you don't want to know anything when we talk about it a bit later. But there's not a lot of ground you can't cover from this. as it is saying, it's a reboot or a continuation of the franchise. Yep. So it has the same thing, the cliffhanger ending, the establishment of new characters, a Death Star trench run. it covers all the points that you want from a franchise willing to continue. But it doesn't, I think one of these, it doesn't do it badly. Like, I didn't know how I was going to sit with this one because I was like, oh, no circus? Don't know. See how we go. And this one, I was kind of like, by the end, I'm like, yeah, I'm down for this, actually. More apes.
Mm. Yeah, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it. I wasn't, 100% on board with War. I enjoyed the other ones and, I really dig the CG in this series. There's just something completely awe-striking about how real the apes are. There's just something so immersive about it. And yeah, after War, I was like, oh, that was a very gritty one. So coming on board with this one, I didn't really know much about it. But before we went in, when I heard, oh, it's a couple hundred years later, I was like, oh, okay. Oh, well, this could be really interesting because I'm all about seeing the evolution of this to get us to where we were in the 60s. Like, I want to see the apes more upright and wearing human clothes and having human hairstyles, but with, ape faces. Like, how do we get to, how do we get to that? I want to see this evolution, this progression. And I think we're starting to get it in this movie. And it was nice to see, something else besides, Caesar trying to start whatever he was trying to do, a revolution. It's now we're in it. So what's society like now?
Yeah. Mm. And I'm keen for to see that continuing, because one of the things that I loved about those films, the old ones, were how the apes had their own religions and how they had kind of built their beliefs around, different things. And like all good speculative science fiction-y sort of stuff, it says, okay, let's hold a mirror up to the world. And this does a fair bit of that, where you're like, okay, well, how does a belief system start? And what happens if you've got a charismatic leader 300 years ago, or, how many generations ago? How does that
corrupt religious dogma into your own purpose? Oh.
Yeah, exactly. And that's explored quite well through Proxima Caesar. Now, normally, I fucking hate Kevin Durand.
Why? Why
he do played you hate? A really good bad guy, though.
He did. And
why do you hate Kevin Durand?
Because he shat all over Highlander. He plays a bad guy in one of the last Highlander films, and he's abysmal in it.
How is he responsible for that? He's given a script. He's given direction. It's not his fault.
He's a person that I think is just a terrible actor, and I don't know why he keeps getting jobs.
I'll defend him till the day comes home, because he is my blob.
There's the other reason I hate him.
No, I think he's good.
Okay. I'm happy for you to think he's good, but I've just always gone, oh, that guy. Anytime I see him, I'm like, oh, that guy. But in this, he's really good.
Yeah.
Possibly because you can't see his smirking, shit-eating face. But anyway.
it's nice to know that I hope you eventually get in a room together, because just watch Quinny with his white-hot rage.
I don't know why. Finally
found someone Quinny doesn't like. Amazing. this is the greatest review ever.
Sooner or later.
Yeah. How dare you have opinions? Oh, dear. Is there anyone else that stood out in this, that you thought shone through the CGI/mocap/avatar technology?
Our scary gorilla guy.
Oh, yeah. He was great.
Yep.
And I'm not entirely sure who, because I can't remember the name of the character, so I'm not entirely sure who played the silverback, but he was fucking impressive.
There's a lot of grunting and yelling and not a lot of like character development with that because it was physically imposing, but that's okay. That made him fun.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of other characters in there. I'm trying to look it up because there's an actor who I've met here in Australia, Eka Darville, who is also one of the apes, one of the bad guy apes. And one thing I do love about this is it gave a lot of work to Australian actors. And I'd be fascinated to see what a day on set would look like for this.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of suits with those little balls on them.
Yeah.
Probably a fair bit.
But they're big fuck off sets. Big sets. They didn't use the volume for this at all.
That doesn't mean that you can't go out there in the little ball costumes.
Oh, no.
Run around in the town.
They were absolutely in the ball costumes, in their ball gowns, out in the bush. Yeah. And I'm down for that.
They're having a bush bash.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? If I'd come across that, just like bushwalking or something, I would have been like, fucking bush doof. Someone would spend, it's like, no, we're shooting Planet of the Apes. It's like, yeah, sure, mate. You're just taking your pingers. Setting up for the night time when you put the big lights on, off you go.
So did we have any problems with the film? Like I really enjoyed it, but I'm intrigued to know whether there are any things that sort of held you back from really kind of digging it.
I mean, I already
I'm going to defer to Peter for this one.
Yeah.
No. Wait. I'm going to say this. Peter, do you have any problems that aren't based on fluid dynamics that we can discuss later? Can we just hold that?
That was a big one. I enjoyed this film for an hour and a half. This film was 2.5 hours long.
Oh, shit, was it?
Yeah. It was very long.
Look, I do admit I had a micro sleep, just quietly, but
yeah. I didn't, you know.
Oh, no.
It's not me this time.
The internet said no, Peter. Start again. You're going to have to start again. Sorry. No, this time it censored you.
Am I back?
It hurt.
You're back.
You are now.
Yeah.
I went in a bit cold, not being a huge fan of the franchise and not having been bothered to rewatch the films that I'd already seen or watch the one that I hadn't. Having said that, you don't need to watch the other films to watch this film, no. I'm going to say. Like, you can take it as it is because there is such a huge time gulf, you know, from the first events until now. I quite liked where it was going for a little while in terms of being kind of like a buddy journey. I liked that bit of the film. And the, you know, interaction between the characters. And then, you know, it was like 90 minutes in and I started to be a little bit like, feels like they're not close to finishing yet. The whole, you know, plot thing. And then I sat there for another hour.
Still just dissociating off what you're watching, going like, is it an ape? Is it a human? I can't tell.
It was a fine hour, but in terms of the whys and the hows of how the rest of the plot kind of came together, I didn't fully buy it, which did interrupt my overall enjoyment of the story such as it was.
Which aspect didn't you buy? Or is it spoilery?
Spoilery. Right. And also lots of aspects, really.
Come on. It did what it said on the box. It was a Planet of the Apes.
It was a
there
planet
was a lot of
apes.
It was definitely it was on a planet.
Very true.
There was a king. He had a crown.
Very true. Yes. It became a little bit like things happening for plot, I think, towards the end, which was it's kind of funny because that like first, you know, half of the film that I was enjoying was more about relationships and character development. And then it became a little bit more about things happening for plot to happen. And then things like really like happened for plot to happen that were like very much just for plot to happen because like physics. and it lost me a fair bit there. So that coupled with the fact that the CG, while excellent, disagrees with my brain a little bit, because while excellent, my brain is still seeing CG and wishing to see what is underneath the CG. I don't think I had as amazing a time as you guys. But I didn't think, you know, I definitely see like the technical aspect of it.
Could you, and the performances.
Could
you perhaps put your social impression into a number, Pete?
Oh, no, I'm going to wait to see what your guys' numbers are, because I don't want to go too harsh. Don't want to go too harsh on it, but I do think that I think that it was a technical triumph. I don't believe it was a storytelling triumph, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. That's fair. I find it interesting, because like normally at this stage of the game, when you've had a successful trilogy and then you go, let's do another one, you start scraping the bottom of the barrel. Usually this is the point where it either shits itself completely and everyone goes, oh, should have left that alone. Or it goes, okay, well, maybe there's life in the old girl yet. And I was very pleased to find that this was the one that actually made me go, I'm more invested than I was before. Because I could fairly much take or leave the original three or four, whatever they are.
You mean the original five?
No, I mean Rise and Dawn and War.
To put in your perspective, Quinny, this is the fourth one, so this would make it the Highlander endgame.
Fuck! And that's exactly it. When you've done a successful thing and then you stop and it's all fucked. This is the one that could very easily have fallen over, and I found that it didn't, and I was only lukewarm on the Andy Serkis ones. This one, I'm actually legitimately far more invested in. I like the characters more. I am intrigued to know where that plot can go. It ends off on a pretty good hook that makes me go, I want to know what the future holds. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a better paced movie. And it was long. There are some bits in the middle that kind of dragged a little bit, but I'm totally on board for it. Do you want a number?
Do you have a social? What sort of social number would you give this?
Socially, I'd give it my number and say, call me. My number is about 90.
It's high.
It is high, but I really enjoyed it. Like, I was so fucking invested in these apes that I legitimately forgot that I was watching CGI apes quite regularly. And was like, oh shit, there's actors there. Fuck, wow. And that was really cool for me. And I loved the world that it's in. And I liked seeing, I love playing the game of, what is this location? Oh, it's a thing. You know, oh, it's an airport. Oh, it's a thing. No, it's something else.
Nice this place.
Yeah. And that sort of stuff I really enjoyed. And yeah, I thought it was a solidly told story and interesting. So yeah, that's where I'm at. That's a 90 from me.
I'm going to jump right in off the back of Quinny with an 85 and say that I also really enjoyed this as well, because I'm so into these Planet of the Apes movies, like the recent reboot. Like, I don't know what it is that's doing it for me, but I find them fascinating. And I did enjoy the first two. War kind of lost me, because I'm like, oh, this is getting a bit too same. But this one really did kind of feel fresh and new within the franchise, and I'm so keen to see how, like, we get to that end point of the original film. And there was just something about the way the movie ended that was just so poignant and vocalized like a lot of stuff that we should be questioning as a human society, and the way that we treat the planet and other things that live here. And I just thought, oh, yeah, that was beautiful. I liked that. And then like the little twist that we get at the end. I mean, it's not really a twist. It's just like a plot uncovering point. And it really like keeps the door open for more of these films, because I am quite keen to see where they go from this one.
Hmm. I'm keen to talk about something in the spoilers about that ending. So yeah,
sure. How are you feeling there, Pete?
I'm just cutting it down, and I just kind of brought it back again, because I do agree with Jill. The message is not subtle, but it is not
Why
wrong.
Why are people talking about subtlety in a movie called Planet of the Apes? Like, come on, everyone, you know what you're getting.
I mean, the message isn't subtle, but it's not wrong. And the main thing that I remember about the other films that I have watched from this franchise are humans are dicks and fuck around and find out, basically. So, you know, that's true in life as well. So I'll give it that. Look, it's so hard because I really liked the first hour and a half of the film, but then it was like a whole other hour. I'll socially react at around about a 70.
Hey.
Fine. No, it's fair.
It's good.
I feel like lower than that is mean given the technical aspect, even though my brain still just saw CGI and Uncanny Valley.
Sure. Look, I had a bunch of impressionists around the 80 mark, and I'll very happily socialize with it. It's good. It's a good continuation. You know, it's fun. I thought the first three were great. This is just another opportunity to start doing some more shit, which is great fun. And also, it's an interesting world now. And one of the great things about it is you can do whatever the fuck you want. Like, you know, this isn't like, you know, Terminator, where you've got a bunch of time travel and you have to logic bomb shit and you've got old people that are established that you need to cram in there. This is quite literally just a Planet of the Apes. You know, it's you're not hanging your hat on Roddy McDowell to be in all of them. You know, you've got a lot of different shit you can do. Humans aren't necessarily great, so maybe they could be the villains of the piece. Hey, all of this shit can be explored and more in more Planet of the Apes movies, because if they can make a fucking film franchise out of driving cars in even more ridiculous circumstances, they can literally try and teach people how to be nicer to themselves, each other, and animals in a bunch of movies.
They can make a film franchise over an immortal guy whose line is "there can be only one" and do five films.
Sure.
And a TV series.
Where there's always more than one.
Exactly. They can make more of these apes films. As long as Absolutely. They don't put Kevin Durant in another one.
Fuck. Well.
Just fuck that guy.
Just, well. Anyway, shall we go to a clip and then come back and talk about spoilery things? Also, if you're in the chat and you don't want to know about spoilery things, I don't know if there's really too much I can spoil.
It's not the kind of thing that you destroy your experience of the movie to know things about it. Yeah. But
we can be try to
I want to be
vague, because we're not really allowed I'm not gonna to go be into reviewing and giving away too much until
Yes,
tomorrow.
We are still in social reaction territory until tomorrow.
All right, I've got a clip of the best part of the movie, which was right around the middle, which is going to be great.
When Jill was asleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, the bit where I fell asleep, because I didn't see this clip.
I don't even know what it is.
Help, the human's about to escape.
Get your paws off me, you dirty ape!
He can talk.
He can talk, 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 he can talk!
I can sing!
Help me, Dr. Zaius!
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius! Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius! Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius! Oh, Dr. Zaius!
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius!
What's wrong with me?
I think you're crazy.
Want a second opinion?
You're also lazy.
Dr. Zeus, Dr. Zeus.
Yeah, all right, okay, fine. Ruined my fun. Let's go to... have a bit. That's a clip, but it's actually shows.
Do we actually have a real clip?
Yes, we do have a real clip. Oh. They're available on the internet. I pulled them from the internet. It's not like they're behind a paywall or something. But it is talking about it's with Noah and Raka and Nova, as she's called at this point, having a nice little interaction, which was kind of the most fun part of the film for me, which was these three rolling around the planet by themselves before having to interact with people. Anyway.
Yes.
What did I miss?
She spoke. She called my name.
You misheard.
You said this Nova was smarter than most.
Within reason. Some intelligence, to be sure.
I have a name.
Me. A couple of apes just figuring out that the human can speak.
I mean, Raka really read as the most human to me. There was something especially about that performance in particular.
I think orangutans have more like eyebrow movement. And I think that lends itself to humanity.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's, you know, and now actually I'm going to put up a little bit of a spoiler logo just in case, even though we're talking about this stuff and not really, people are asking, oh, how is it a surprise? Okay. It's many generations later. Humans, as it was expressed, the virus that they created that made apes smarter actually make humans dumber. And by this time, humans are just referred to as echoes because they're echoes of their past selves, because they'd have lesser intelligence, they can't communicate, they can't do this. So when they come across this one human who can speak, it is like a tie-in right back to the first Planet of the Apes movie, which is Charlton Heston is an astronaut and can speak, and they're like, holy shit, this human can speak. What is this? This is like crazy. It's a scientific also, marvel.
Yeah, it's interesting also that some clans call them echoes. So Eagle Clan calls them echoes, and you kind of get the impression that the Eagle Clan are a little more sort of country bumpkins. You know, they are living in a semi-agricultural society.
The mystic ape kind of that kind of thing.
But then like the kingdom they refer to them as human beings. And it kind of becomes clear why a little bit later on that there are still books in the world and some people can read books. And there are some humans around who are still smart.
It's pretty much a good like thing at the end there, which is now, and this is what it's establishing, is after the war for the Planet of the Apes, out of that, the winners of that war were the apes and the losers were humanity. And that kind of explains where it goes. So if you are intelligent, you're going to kind of go a bit underground or just not kind of express your intelligence because the apes will probably kill you. And the apes have a chance to create their own societies. And just like that, when they're creating their own societies, they're also creating all the problems that come along with societies, which means that, you know, you start pushing people together. There's feuds, there's fights, there's dominance over one or the other, you know.
For superpowers in the sense of like global international superpowers and stuff like that. People want to establish fiefdoms, kingdoms, etc. There's this sort of whole thing. Like you do actually see like a herd of humans at one point, they are
very reminiscent of the original Apes film humans with like the fur loincloths.
Yeah, I loved a good loincloth. I was like, yeah,
and a little bit of the music came through, which I was excited to see, as well as the apes on horses dragging people into a net and doing that kind of stuff.
So
it was just like,
yes,
just very subtle jabs along there. I'm like, oh, good, they're acknowledging where it came from, but also providing us with a bit different sort of stuff in there, which is great.
And one problem I had with it really early on, the moment that May or Nova showed up, I was like, why is she wearing jeans?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was like, what the fuck? Everybody, aren't they meant to be like, you know, completely.
And a tank top.
And a tank top.
Where did
that
come from?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, this is bullshit. This is this, like some production designer didn't.
Bra.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Well, it's good to see
a production
some...
designer was really not doing their job. And then as the film played out, I went, oh, actually, the production designer knew exactly what the fuck they were doing. I should just shut up.
Yeah, yeah. And I think like by the end of the film, it kind of gives us a bit of an explanation as to that sort of stuff, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily have too much to do against the world you're going. Because you're actually following the apes in this. You don't really worry about what humans are doing. You only worry about the humans that are in front of you. They're worried about what they're doing. And it's actually a story about what are the apes doing? And how do the apes figure out whether or not, you know, perhaps not all apes are good. They don't all treat each other quite well.
And they have forgotten what Caesar taught them.
Exactly. Apes together strong.
Yep.
Mm.
But maybe they forgot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe they're mistranslating it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's the stuff I fucking love. Because, you know, that's the exploration of religion. That's the exploration of you know, intergenerational belief structures and stuff like that, that something like this allows you to do. That says, he was a charismatic leader many years ago. Why do we still believe everything that they say? And what happens if we adapt it to our own belief system? And that's why we have the fucking Second Amendment in America.
Yes. Clearly says bare arms. You've got to have... Being bare arms.
Yeah, just like nothing on
nothing
your arms,
on them.
Just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Shows your foe that you are unarmed, you're willing to negotiate. That's what it's meant for, right? Yes.
And maybe that was the reason I wasn't as interested in those first films, because it did always feel like we were still kind of relying heavily on the human actors. Like, you know, whether it was James Franco or Draco Malfoy or...
To say Woody Harrelson's been mentioned to me at some point in relation to this.
I totally forgot he was in that war.
Yep.
Like, oh, Woody Harrelson. I'm like, no, he wasn't in this. What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, I got to say, like, my favorite parts of the film were just the buddy kind of travel montage bits in the middle that really allowed those actors to create, you know, a nice bit of rapport and connect with us. Like the audience, I meant. That was kind of my favorite part, and I was very disappointed when that was over for the reasons that you could go and watch the film and find out for.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, you know, you're right, with that very long 2.5 hour playlist, you've got the start and the establishment of this, the journey and the character journey, call to adventure kind of thing in the middle, and then at the end, it's like, oh, all the complexity stuff, which was quite good in its moral complexity. Because I really did feel more for the apes than I felt for the human quotient of it by the end. And I was like, you dicks.
Yeah.
Humans are dicks.
Yeah. And there's a point at the end where, like, the human that we've been dealing with through most of the film has shown to be morally fucking questionable. Mm-hmm. And you understand why they've kind of done what they've done, but also, you know, you're like, ah, a bit of a dick move or whatever. And then there's a moment right at the end where you're like, oh, wow. Okay. You are really not good and you haven't learned anything. And I fucking loved that.
Yeah. And I like that too, because I really didn't want to, I was pleased that Proxima Caesar didn't get what they wanted by the end of it. I was sad that Noah didn't really get what he wanted by the end of it. And I was pissed off that technically May/Nova gets what they wanted by the end of it. And I was just like, this is annoying, but also allows you to continue the franchise, which is absolutely fine at this point, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of irritated me a little bit though that, you know, we have that lovely buddy, you know, journey, character development thing that you kind of, you feel like is like, you know, pushing in a certain direction that would make sense from a storytelling perspective in terms of where we are in the franchise as to, like, you know, maybe we can, like, form some strong bonds between these disparate factions. And, you know, you kind of get a bit invested in that. And the payoff isn't necessarily what you want. But going back to what Jill is saying about messaging, still fairly on point. But I think the main reason it kind of lost me when that section of the film finished is because, like, the end of that section of the film was the beginning of illogical and irrational thing is done, so plot can happen.
Let's have some examples of that, because I'm
well, like very obvious, scary bridge thing. That, like, is a very, like, obvious no-no, dangerous, bad place. Like, oh, let's see if we can cross somewhere else to be safer and more stealthy. No, because then really obvious plot point couldn't happen. Let's, like, not even talk about it and just be like, well, I guess we're going to just do this really obviously scary and unsafe thing. Oh, no. Like,
this was obvious and unsafe.
Oh, no. What now? And like, everything else after that for me was just a little bit kind of like, oh, I guess this is, like, another thing so that we can plot. But at the same time, because I was ready for the movie to be finished, I was like, how much more plot are we going to have? Like, come on, guys. Like, this doesn't feel like it's wrapping up anytime soon. Let's, like, you know, let's do the thing and get the stuff and get out of here. And then when they did do the thing and get the stuff and get out of here, like, hard no to that entire scene.
So we're in deep spoiler territory here.
We won't, like, spoil too hard.
But
okay,
there's a scene where water is flooding a facility. And Peter's problem is that the water is rising probably higher than the actual sea level.
Definitely higher than the sea level. The water is entering on the ground floor of the facility. Yeah. The facility goes up into the mountain. That's not how water works. And at one point, it's like flowing down on top of them, even though they've been, like, fast chimp climbing up. Like, where is that water coming from? Also, where's the electricity coming from?
She's she destroyed her internet.
Electricity being generated.
I like to think
you got so angry you froze yourself, Pete. Yeah.
I like to think that there was a giant reservoir of water underneath, and just like in the fluid dynamics way, that water coming in pushed the water down. The water had nowhere to go down and went back up again.
Like a tsunami where, like, you know, the water's coming in and it kind of rushes and then it would, like, go up?
Sure.
No.
No.
Did I freeze before the part of my rant about the electricity?
No, you kind of just caught in the middle of it. How does electricity work?
I'm going to call Triple J tomorrow and ask Dr. Carl what he thinks.
How do you make water go up?
That's like hundreds of years after any kind of civilization is existing and doing anything. Just go and, like, flip a master switch and everything.
Yeah, I did have a problem with that. There, at the very least, in other things, that you've got to at least prime a generator or something like that.
It's probably that geothermal energy, and it's been running quietly in the background. Like, who knows these things? We won't know.
Yeah.
Till they go to swim down the tunnel of the building in the Planet of the Apes.
I like at one point they do show you how deep it is. You're like, oh, that's a long way down. And I kind of have a feeling that maybe some of it was down underground as much as it was above ground.
I'm also asking the question, and this is maybe, I don't know if this is but why here, but why would they build the facility whose main door is at sea level on a beach?
I'm going to assume that the sea level has risen in the time that...
But there is a dock right next to it. which clearly has bollards for tying a ship up to it. So my guess is that originally it was some kind of shipyard of some description. Yeah, like, but
yeah, because there were those shipping container cranes and stuff there too.
Yeah, like, so there's some kind of quasi logic there, but yeah, it all falls apart when you hit that bit where it's just like, oh, okay, we have to have peril.
Yeah,
from
when
water.
I mean, when you have to build a seawall to stop the water from coming into the facility that you're trying to get into, kind of falls apart there, doesn't it?
As I say again, the film is called The Planet of the Apes. What do you want from this? There's a planet and there's some apes on it. Come on.
Science fiction, heavy on the fiction.
Yeah. But apart from you can raise eagles that just become bonded to you. You guys have no problem with that whatsoever.
Oh, they've obviously spent a long time like perfecting that eagle whispering technique. I buy that.
Yeah, totally on board.
Sure. So I'm going to go and steal an egg from one of the nests and carry it around with me until it bonds with me. And then
you have to sing to it. You have to sing to it.
Then you're all going to be sorry.
Yeah. One thing I actually
just my attack eagle. Sick him.
Yeah. Sick him, Rex. One thing I did love about it was some of like that whole play the game of what are we looking at in the future? You know, the airport or the you know, what is the space that we're in? Is it an overpass? Is it just a road in the back of nowhere? What I fucking loved was the Eagle Clan's home. Yeah. I was just like, high tension pylons? Fucking genius. And
as like the base frame that they construct around. And I was like, oh yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah. And I looked at that and I thought, that's great. And I was annoyed that I didn't see it immediately. But that kind of stuff I love, and I really enjoy that kind of idea of, you know, what, how do you repurpose the world, you know, and make it into something. And when they do find what's in the big undergroundy bunker thing, there is even Dion leaned across to me, he's like, are we doing Fallout now?
Yeah. Is this true? Have we all joined in now? There's just secret tunnel bunkers everywhere. That's what it all is. And this is just one of the experiments.
Yes. And or silo, either or.
Yeah.
But I did like that feeling that, you know, everything outside is sort of green and lush and verdant and everything, and then the human stuff is not. It's, you know, such a different world and feels colder and yeah.
I quite like the production design of how the chimpanzees in the Eagle Clan had used existing to build their own structures around, and that was really nice.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I believe you paused in the middle of that, Pete, but using existing structures to build
their own green structures around. It's kind of like the re-greenifying of you know, horrible things like steel, telephone and electricity towers that actually have become the base for beautiful green chimp villages.
Maybe the theme of this is perhaps connecting with the natural world isn't a bad thing, and we should stop trying to be so destructive.
Yes.
And learn to live with things. Does that make sense? Except horses, because fuck them. We're still going to keep riding horses rather than just letting them go around. Because, you know, even though it's very easily established that these apes can swing through trees faster than any other motherfucker, they're still going to ride horses around. Poor horsies.
Yeah. I did see a thing once that made me kind of laugh. Like, everybody's all about, you know, the post-apocalypse and everything like that. And, you know, in Furiosa and Mad Max, there's everybody getting into their cars and driving around and stuff like that. But the one thing we don't see much of in post-apocalypses are bicycles. The one thing that you could probably get around on quite easily.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen an ape on a bike.
Maybe in the next one, Quinny. Tour de ape.
Fingers crossed. Yes. I think that would be most entertaining.
But I think it's good. Yeah, look, if you're interested and you think, I think go out and see it. Go get into a cinema. See Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Have some popcorn.
Yep.
Enjoy.
Go and see Australia.
Yeah. This one isn't Monkey Punch Lizard. It's Monkey Punch Monkey.
Yeah. But also, justice for bonobos.
You know that
one day they
will
be correctly represented. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, right. Yeah, the main bad guys are Bonobo, and he didn't fuck to solve a problem once.
I think Karina in the chat has raised a valid point. What I need to bring up is that chimpanzees may not have the leg length to pedal properly.
They would have to build and design their own.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know those sitting down ones that you can pedal from the front sort of? Well, yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Give it a go.
I mean, I kind of also want to see what happens when these apes from Planet of the Apes find like Smokey and the Bandit.
The movie.
Yeah, the movie. And then just kind of freak out by going, hang on a second. this chimpanzee is driving a car. what's going on? Anyway.
There's a beautiful moment where they do find something that is like showing what apes were treated like. And I really enjoyed that feeling of like, hang the fuck on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. And when they found the special book and they got to rearrange their stats.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that was Fallout again. Yeah. I know, so many references. It's good. What are we doing next week?
Yep.
What are we doing next week?
That's such a good question.
Why?
It's on the Facebook, but do you think I can remember?
There's a couple of boys.
Is it Dead Boy Detectives?
Yeah. That's right.
They may be deceased. They may be detectivizing in this deceased arena.
They may or may not be a part of the Neil Gaiman universe on Netflix. They really are.
What do you mean not part of? May or may not.
Okay, they may well be, and in fact are.
Yes, get into it. It was a lot more adult than I was expecting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Very colourful, though.
I started watching it and I was like, oh, this will be light and fun. And then got into the first 10 minutes. I'm like, that's not light or fun. Yeah, it's slightly amusing. It's okay.
And Peter is saying, who's watching Sugar? I have got access to.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm having a social reaction to I've got a bunch of them to watch, but I have annoyingly been spoiled on something from episode 6.
God damn, I was trying to avoid spoiling anyone on things. But
yeah.
Like I need to like talk to someone about things, which means you need to watch it so that I can talk to you about it without spoiling it.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm annoyed by that because I think I looked at the trailer and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, right. That wouldn't have sold me on it, but the spoiler was the thing that did kind of make me go, maybe I do want to watch that.
Yeah, I quit Sugar.
Watch it, just, you know, in case there's anyone else who wants to watch it, is the lovely film noir referencing, but which I just kind of flicked it on to be like, like Colin Farrell, I like film noir. But there is such like a subtle over mystery on top of the overt mystery that just kind of keeps you, it's like really like subtle, like little tiny hints that there's something else kind of going on that that keeps you wanting to watch it to know a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. So it's not like the big cliffhangeriness of Severance, but it is that kind of like, oh, I do kind of, I need to know. I need to know more, and I need to know more each episode. I found it like really enjoyable, and I would need other people to watch it and talk to me about it. So,
what platform is it on?
Apple TV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I've been watching The Big Door Prize on Apple TV.
I don't know.
I've watched a bit of that too. I shall be watching some more of that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that the whole of season one had dropped and that we are partway through season two. So I have really gone hard on that.
Depending on how we go with all of that, then we'll be doing Dead Boy Detectives next week and then potentially Shogun, but maybe Sugar. Sugar Shogun. It's a different kind of thing.
We'll see how we go.
We'll see how we go. And then it's Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. Oh, God, I can't get these things right. for the end of the week. Month, year.
Yes. Whenever. God. Sometime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't really know. Thanks for that. Thank you for enjoying our social reaction to Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Look out for our podcast review out on Thursday when the film is also available in cinemas. And go have a little bit of a watch of it. See if you like it. See if there's a jarring issue with either the gum trees or the uncanny valley of not being able to understand that they're apes and humans doing acting things.
Yes.
I didn't get it, but apparently some people do. It's all right, Pete. I don't know. I did notice you were watching it at some point and I was like, it's not bad, is it? And you're like, nah.
I'm out.
Well, not out, but she's just like, nah. You can see in the eyes sometimes you're like, nah. And Quinny, you were just having fun.
I was just like, apes.
Yeah, and I couldn't see Jill.
No, I was having a little nana nap.
Yeah. A couple of times I looked across and Jill was, most of the way out. And I was like,
is that the 3/4 of the way through? I heard the.
Followed by a little.
I was full of a porto and I had my coat curled up on the in the recliner. I was like, oh no, I'm going to close my eyes.
Oh, no.
Those recliners are dangerous.
They are.
They are very dangerous.
For old people.
Oh, bitch! We're all in the 4-0 club here.
Apes together strong. Apes together strong.
Aged together strong. Aged together strong. Oh, dear. Thank you. Thank you, everyone in the chat who joined in. I hope you enjoy the film. We'll go
and see it. Go watch it in the big screen. Support some Australian filmmaking.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Thanks very much. Yeah. We're going to go visit reckon? Anyone?
We'll go and raid Mylan. He's playing some Destiny 2.
All right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. We will see you all later. Bye.
You finally made a monkey.
Yes, we finally made a monkey.
Yes, you finally made a monkey out of me.
I love you, Dr. Zayas.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.